Welcome to the session on utterance gifts. And I just have to let you know from the outset, I'm Diane Harrison, and I love to teach on prophecy, so this is a nice session for me. And I'm always, I don't know, what do I like better, talking about prophecy or actually ministering in prophecy or teaching people how to prophesy? It's like the best of three worlds. So that's my new life now. And today, the session that I have to say to you, I usually talk about prophecy and entering just into prophecy, but the topic today was to try to do an explanation on tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And so in our time frame, I have about half an hour to give you an overview and then about 10 minutes for questions at the end. And today, right at the end of this session, we're starting the prophetic ministry time down in the dining room area there. So if I seem like I'm cutting you off, I won't be, or well, I might be, but I'll just be, it'll be just with the idea that you could catch me later, okay? Because I'm really happy to talk about prophecy and to do my best. So this was sort of a good discipline for me, because when I when we became believers, my husband and I, we stepped into our just sort of a whole transformation experience in our experience with the Lord, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started to have words and pictures that would come to me, which was not a comfortable experience, because I hadn't seen it. I didn't really know what it was. So I've had a journey of learning what to make sense of this gift. First of all, I was upset that God had given me this gift of prophecy, because it wasn't that popular. Especially back in the late 70s, early 80s, you really couldn't find a lot of information on prophecy. So I've had a bit of a lifetime of trying to piece things together and make sense of the whole gifts. But because of how I was launched into the gift of prophecy, it was through my experience, through my encounter with the Holy Spirit. So I have tended to be a little bit experience-based. I love the Holy Spirit. And early on, I did not really have a lot. I didn't use a lot of definitions on prophecy. I thought, oh, what's the difference? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, one just flows into another. But since then, I do think there is merit in looking at some of the differences, because people's gifts operate differently. And I'm really happy last night in the area of tongues, interpretation of tongues, that Mark did such a good explanation. And we've got a good example. How many were here last night? Yay. Oh, no, you guys weren't. Oh, darn, I have to give you an explanation. That's okay. No, it'll be fine. So I'm going to just use a few slides here. And starting out, this is a scripture that Mark opened with last night. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then in 1 Corinthians, it goes on to give us some specific instruction about prophecy. So if you want to learn about prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14 is the best. But this challenge is to understand gifts a little bit. And I think that one of the scriptures that I found that's really, really helped me is it's actually a Message translation, but it says to be bold and confident with your gifts, to be bold, confident, loving, and sensible with your gifts. So this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, I think, is the one that sort of says, understand and don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And I think that's so that we can handle them a little bit more delicately. You know, a lot of my journey was as I made mistakes and I felt like the gift of prophecy, I felt like a bull in a china shop with the gift of prophecy. And sometimes the gifts are really awkward. And so there's ways of learning how to handle your gift so that it can be more palatable and people can receive it. Because sometimes people just think that prophecy is just all about giving out the words, speaking on behalf of God. But really, there's a part of prophecy, it has to be received. And there's a way of a delivery that helps people to receive. And there's sort of a little bit of instruction. So I'm really sticking more to definitions, I think, today. And then maybe in the question answer time, we can branch out just a little bit so I can know what your interest is. Another scripture, well, before I go into 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it does say, it talks about how no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do. It never came by human impulse, but as men spoke from God who were born along by the Holy Spirit. So in spiritual gifts, we recognize that it's the Spirit speaking through us, speaking through man. And you know, God has a big desire to communicate with us. And we can see right back to the garden, Adam and God had dialogue. And it was a communication. I believe that with us having the opportunity of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we continue to be able to have that ongoing communication. And I think our process in learning what are the spiritual gifts and how do we receive them, it's available to many of us all the time. And it's a matter of learning the process and learning to hear the gifts. And you know, I really like the scripture. It talks in 1 Samuel 4. It talks about Samuel as a child. And in that encounter that he has, God speaking to Samuel, he's a child, but he runs to Eli and says, who's speaking? And Eli sends him back, goes back to sleep. And this happens 3 times. And finally, the 4th time, Eli says, when God speaks, answer. And he gives him a little bit of directive. You know, as a spiritual advisor, Eli wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer in that experience. But I'm glad it's recorded in Scripture because it shows that Samuel, who became an awesome prophet, it's my goal, just like Samuel, where it says about Samuel, none of his words ever fell to the ground. But starting out, he had to learn to be able to hear the voice of God. And it was a bit of a process for him. And that encourages us that, you know what, there's a bit of a learning process that goes on. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about this area of tongues and messages in tongues. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, this would be more in the private use of tongues. And it's really to build us up individually. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But then Paul goes on to clarify, he says, then I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so just the tongues, that's when we see at Pentecost where they were filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues. I think that looking at when we are usually talking about tongues and interpretation about tongues, we're not really talking about the private use of tongues. We're talking about the message in tongues, and we had 2 really great examples last night. And the examples last night was where God used a person. It was Keith, I think Keith Eberhardt, in both circumstances, gave a communication in a totally foreign language known to Keith, yet there was a definite purpose for someone to be able to understand that. Now, my husband was pointing out to me, he said, you know, it's interesting, he says, in tongues and then interpretation of tongues, it's not a straight translation, it's actually an interpretation of the intent and the meaning of what those tongues meant. And so the examples that we have for tongues and other tongues and interpretation of tongues are more for the public use. So the public message in the use of tongues, again, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 14, and it gives us this instruction. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he interprets what he says. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And, you know, it is evidence when someone gives a message in tongues. It is a message of the Spirit speaking through a person. It's also evidence of the Spirit as someone else often receives the interpretation of what that message is. And most examples that I've heard are when there has been a message in tongues, it is for the purpose of someone who's able to receive it in another language. And there's been some powerful encounters. They're usually more individual experiences, although last night, the last example that Mark gave was it was a group of Inuit people that were able to understand and embrace the whole message. But I think what's so powerful is just to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit working through a human mouthpiece where the person has has no clue what's being said. So it says in Scripture, it says we prophesy according to the level of our faith. It takes faith to be able to give a message in a complete other language. And yet there's an anointing that comes with that. And I believe that I actually did some interviews with people because to be honest with you, I thought, is this area of tongues and interpretation of tongues, like, is this really a thing anymore? Because I have not seen it for a lot of years. And so I did a little bit of research and interviewing, and what somebody pointed out that has had messages in tongues, and what I think for myself, it's not something that I've experienced having the message in another language. I think I've had the interpretation sometimes, but like happens a lot of times, people that maybe get the interpretation are too shy or just, they just lack confidence to be able to speak it forward. And so it is something that we haven't really seen a lot of in our churches or in the circles that we're moving in probably the last, I would say, maybe 15 years even. But I thought that's really interesting. The two examples last night were given of recent evidence of that. And I think, like I think with the other evidences of how God speaks to us, the more open that we are to the Holy Spirit, the more that we're going to have these experiences. So I actually, to be honest with you, I've been a bit challenged just in my own gifting. Like, am I really open to that? And I had to say, well, I'm not really, because it would feel a little bit weird in our, in our church service. But when I could see the examples of it, it may have benefit for other people. Like, I thought of those Inuit people, and I thought, if they came into the whole service and couldn't understand any of the language, they probably could have felt and experienced the presence of the Lord, but to have the direct communication to their heart, I thought that was a real blessing and evidence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the spiritual gifts are really to build one another up, like it says in these scriptures. So the interpretation of tongues, I believe that we have to wait on the interpretation. And I think I'm just going to leave it there. If there's maybe a few more questions, we can answer it in that time. I want to talk a little bit about prophecy. And, of course, prophecy, again, we're using that scripture of, this is the same one in 2 Peter, where it just confirms that area. But in 1 Corinthians 14:26, good one, my PowerPoint guy, when it says, what then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue, or an interpretation of it. But let everything be constructive and edifying for the good of all. And so we hear the heart of being able to build the church up. The first few people that I was asking about this area of tongues, interpretation of tongues, like, what have you experienced? I had a number of people say to me, oh, that was just an old Pentecostal thing. That's what I grew up with. I grew up with somebody rambling and something you couldn't understand, and they dismissed it that way. But I thought, the thing is that the Spirit wants to impart life, and it is evidence. And so I've sort of come around to think, yeah, this is a valid spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit may want to use. So if I blurt out in tongues in the service tonight, you'll know. Anyway, I don't know if my faith is quite that good yet. But okay, so let's talk just a little bit about the prophetic and prophecy. Going to just do an overview. There's a lot of definitions about prophecy, and we know that it's a supernatural gift of the Spirit. It's a declaration of what can't be known by natural means. There's other definitions that talk about the forthtelling aspect of the will of God, and there can be reference to the past, the present, or the future. Ultimately, number three, which I've been sort of underlying, is we know the Holy Spirit's wanting to express thoughts and desires through a human voice. My favorite definition is more number four of God's love letter, because there he has that desire to communicate with us. And I believe that it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says you can all prophesy. But I do believe that God has actually put prophecy in each one of us, because we each have a sphere of people around us that we might be the only ones that are able to reach those people. So for us to have a message that we're able to deliver, I think it is like love letters. And I believe God has given us many love letters to be able to impart into people's lives. And Mother Teresa, I just love this saying. She says, I'm a little pencil in the hands, it should say, of a loving God who is sending love letters to the world. And I believe that's the heart of prophecy to us, is that God gives us messages that are wrapped in love to be able to give to the world around us. Now, you know, we can start out thinking, well, it's nice to get a little love letter. But I believe that many times those love letters, as they're shaped in comfort, edification, and exhortation, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe that they actually can save people's lives. I've had some experiences myself where just being able to share something with a person at the right time. My one friend that I worked with, I had a dream. Dreams aren't the main way that God communicates with me, but I had a dream about her, and so I said, hey, you know, do you want to stop by? She didn't get the text that I sent her, so 2 weeks later, I said to her again, I was back at work, and I said, hey, come on up to the office. I had a dream. I want to talk to you about it. And I'm not as confident in dreams and interpretation. So I was thinking, maybe it was just a dream. But one of the ways to tell if something's prophetic and a message to give to someone else is if it stays with you, if you don't forget it, if it keeps coming to your mind. So she came into my office and she's in the doorway. So when I began to share the dream with her, I said, you know, I have this dream about you, and in the dream, you kept picking up a different mask. Every situation you went into, you were picking up a different mask, and you were hiding behind the mask, and I saw you crouched, cowering behind the desk. And I said, but I could see in the dream, you're really, really depressed. And she crumpled, really into my arms and said, I have it all planned. Sorry, this still cracks me up. But anyway, she says, I have it all planned. And she said, I'm smart. It's going to look like an accident, like a total accident. And I thought, I was so close to not sharing that dream with her, even if I didn't have the full interpretation of it. And that's many times we hold back. We think, well, we don't know what it means. But, you know, it doesn't hurt just to give, to say to someone, this is what I had for you. What do you think? And if it's nothing, it just gets cast off. But there's many times, like they say, the number one reason that people leave ministry is because of discouragement. And I believe that prophecy is a spiritual gift that's given to us, because I think it's like a tool that can break discouragement in people's lives. And given at a certain time, I really believe it can save them from just sort of losing out or bombing out in their walk with God. And we have so many friends, because we've been around for a long time in Christianity, that were at one time missionaries, great fervent preachers and teachers, and now they're not even interested in church. They're not even going to church. And I feel if they had had prophecy, gift of prophecy given to them at key times in their life, that I believe that would have broken that discouragement over them. Because in prophecy, we're expressing the heart of God towards people. And we're expressing dreams, visions, talking to them about what God has for them, because God always has way more enlargement for us than what we have for ourselves. And so we need to be able to identify and speak vision into each other's lives. So prophecy isn't just to be given occasionally. And you know, when we say a gift, a spiritual gift, we think, oh, that probably means you should only be giving it out at special occasions. I think we should call them spiritual tools. And we realize they're actually powerful gifts that, given at the right time, can just shatter the discouragement in people's lives. We have a drop-in ministry at our church where people can come. Sometimes we know them if they're from the church. They can bring their friends. They can bring their family members. But when we started that ministry, it's just between our two services. We've been training people in the prophetic for a long time. So we have lots of people that are able to minister. And actually, it's the same concept as the ministry that's happening after this session. It's a drop-in ministry experience where for about 10 minutes, people listen and try to hear God's voice of the words to speak to you. Except that in our time, it'll be a little bit deeper today because it's mostly leaders at this conference, and so I find the level of prophecy does go deeper. But in our time between services, we minister in comfort, edification, and exhortation. And so we're not giving directive words. We are not giving words that you're moving somewhere, that you're getting a new job opportunity necessarily. But we are speaking vision. Sometimes we talk about old dreams that people have. So we've seen in that time, just by expressing the heart of God, I've seen people that got discouraged in, they were on a worship team and dropped off. But God would speak to them in those times to say, hey, pick up that instrument again. Time to get back at it and see change happen. And so that's, to me, really effective when you can break discouragement and just encourage someone and release their vision and dreams over their lives. And I believe it's really important that we speak into young people's lives in particular, because they often can't perceive the kind of gifting that they might have, what it's natural to them, but we have to encourage them of what dreams God has for them. And so there's just no end of the good benefit. But between service, when we started that ministry, I would not have believed how many depressed and oppressed people that we had in our church. But people would come, and through words of prophecy, it would break some of that oppression that was over them. It didn't mean that they would leave and have their whole circumstance change, but it did lift them to another perspective that they could go back and handle their circumstances better. And we had one of the first times that we were offering that ministry, there was a guy that got a pass from the psych ward to come out really depressed, so depressed he couldn't really even talk. He came in, and one of the girls on the team is an artist, because the expression of prophecy sometimes is through words, sometimes through songs, drama, creative art expression. But she was a painter, so she brought in her little canvas. And as two other people on the team were speaking with words, she painted a little picture for him on the canvas. And then he left. He went back to the psych ward, but he had that picture with him. And I don't think that he would have remembered all the words that were ministered over him, but he had that picture on his bedside table, and I believe it gave him hope every time that he would see that. And I would like to say he had just a total release in that depression, but I think it was the dark that began to break it up over him. And so many times with prophecy, just that encouragement gets people moving in the right direction. It sort of breaks that cloud that's over them. So it's a very effective tool in the gift of prophecy. I thought I would maybe just talk a little bit about some of the levels of prophecy, because it gets confusing, and sometimes people are like, oh, do I have a prophetic gift? You know, am I a prophet? What am I? So if you want to find out totally about the prophet, you're going to have to go to Keith's workshop. I'm not going to really talk about all those characteristics, but I thought I would talk a little bit about the levels of prophecy and describe them a little bit to help make sense of this whole area. A spirit of prophecy is it's that occasion when the Spirit of God breaks open so greatly over a whole crowd that any anybody and everybody can prophesy. In fact, people are, they're pushing in to want to prophesy. And that usually happens, if not usually, I mean, it would, the usual conditions would be during a worship, an intense worship time, and where you're just giving yourself to that night, just to come into the presence of God. In a church service, we would follow, let two or three prophesy, let the rest judge. But in a night that's given to, let's say, prayer and worship, many people, we want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And so the spirit of prophecy, we see in the Old Testament where it happened a couple times with Saul, which is interesting because he probably is one of the people that didn't hear or ignored the voice of God, I think, many times. But there were times where Saul went out and he would get close to, they called them company of prophets at that time, the band of prophets, it says in some translations. So Paul would get close and the spirit of prophecy was so strong that Saul would begin to prophesy, and the people were saying, what? Is Saul now a prophet? Is he now amongst the prophets? So you can see that it's an intense really cloud or atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, and that's the spirit of prophecy, and that's something that is probably happening occasionally. It's not like an every, be nice, but it's not an every church experience time. The gift of prophecy. Now, you know, I should just say in these areas of definitions, these are ones that I've come to feel makes sense, but there's a lot of differences. And if you've explored prophecy on the internet, it can get confusing really fast. So in the way that I view it, it's probably sort of a center line, I feel, in looking at things. Because a gift of prophecy, it does say in 1 Corinthians 14, you may all prophesy. Now, the way that I look at it is, we know as believers, we can all pray for people for healing. But I do believe that there are people that have a deposit, a gift of healing. And really, they're the ones that if you're sick or have a disease process, you want them to pray for you, right? And I think it's the same with prophecy. We can all prophesy, and especially in certain conditions and certain times, but there are those that have a gift of prophecy. A gift of prophecy, I think, even comes in levels of gifting, because lots of times it's mixed together with another gift. But a gift of prophecy is, you see people that that they're prophesying, and then you see it sort of start to grow and increase. And as it starts to grow and increase, then people begin to rely on and invite them for ministry, prophetic ministry opportunities. So as the gift of prophecy grows and develops, people then become almost known to have a prophetic ministry. So that would be maybe a time like a baptism. You'd say, hey, why don't you come and we'll pray and minister. Like we tend to have our prophetic ministry sort of outside of the baptismal time because it's in the service and, you know, sometimes the logistics of it. But that's an example where people become known or you get invited where you know there's going to be a prophetic ministry opportunity. So they're just growing and developing in their gift. I don't think that we get to choose our gifts. And I certainly would not have chosen the gift of prophecy back in the late 70s and early 80s, and especially being a woman, I did not see any women involved in prophesying, and if I did, I didn't want to be like them, you know what I mean? And it took me a little while to get convinced of the benefits of prophecy, and then I had to learn how to behave with the gift. And you know, we're still in that place. I'm finding there's, right now, we're sort of in a day, I feel, of acceleration. I've never had so many opportunities of people requesting prophetic ministry, people wanting to know, how can we embrace prophecy in our church setting? And my feeling is that we get trained up in our church setting. We learn, we gain confidence, we learn some guidelines so that prophecy can be received and be more effective. And that's where we learn. But ultimately, it is to make us a vehicle to the world around us, because words in season, like prophecy, I believe, are great community. They're the hooks as you're fishing, they are the hooks, because prophecy in many forms can just give you a key right into people's hearts right away. It just dissolves all pretense because God's given you a word that just opens up their heart. So I'm not an evangelist in some ways, and yet I am in others, because my whole is, if I can see as many people as possible released in prophetic gifting, I know that they're going to take a whole harvest all around them. So I am passionate. Like, I have been working in the area of prophetic for a long time, but I would say I am probably even more passionate about seeing people released in their gifting than ever, because I can just see the benefit, not just for people in the church getting vision and their identity getting established in the love of God. I just see it working in such a great circle around, and it's so fantastic. So in prophetic ministry, this is just a definition of the ministry, but if the continual use of the gift of prophecy, it begins to push us in the direction of ministry rather than just a casual gift, and it broadens our use of the gift to a wider range of people and situations. I just feel like in the past, a lot of churches, they've only wanted prophets. They've thought it's only prophets that are going to be able to do any good, and not realized how effective people that develop in their prophetic gifts, how much benefit that they can be. And the benefit is just that people, as they're more encouraged, are able to walk into all that God has for them. So it becomes a powerful gift. And you know, many times what's being ministered to people is confirmation. I'd say a big percentage of the time is confirmation of what's already in their own hearts. It's confirmation that they're hearing, and really it's just another voice underlying what the Holy Spirit's already speaking to them, but that gives them confidence to begin to walk it out. So it's awesome. It's an awesome gift. Now I just can't wait to see people equipped. We were just, I guess this is maybe being taped, we just had an opportunity to do some ministry and release some people that are sort of fresh into recovery programs, you know, and so just to be able to see them grab a hold and understand of the Holy Spirit wanting to use them, it was so powerful. I'm just like, okay, I only want to minister to people in recovery. That's how I felt. I just want those people, because it's their love and their understanding of transformation is so incredible. And you know, I just have no idea, but I really thought, especially after a couple of these ministry situations, I thought to myself, okay, I think I'm finally getting Mary Magdalene a little bit more. You know, the gratefulness that it talks about, washing her feet with the tears of Jesus. I have to be honest, I never really got that a whole lot. I'd be thinking, you know, like all that long hair and all, you know, sort of messy and all that. But I was missing, you know what, there was such a gratefulness in her and such a thankfulness that I could see that in the eyes or in the testimony. Testimonies of some of these people. And so I just thought, you know, understanding what we really have been redeemed from is just so powerful. And so people released in prophetic gifting, the numbers that they're going to be able to affect around them, it's fantastic. So I have come full circle from not really despising the gift, but being highly irritated that I didn't get something quiet. And I've come around to say, thank you, God. Let me equip as many people as possible. Like, I'm just like aggressively saying yes. And now, you know, thankfully, we have a team of people that are saying, yes, let me go out and teach. Let me minister in those churches. And so I had this prophecy given to me quite a few years ago, but it said, you will be like Mother Superior, and you're going to have all the young nuns around you. Of course, they're not all nuns. They're, you know, whatever. What would they be, monks or brothers or whatever, because it's men and women. But the prophecy was, you're going to have all the young nuns around you, and you're going to be directing them and releasing them in the prophetic, and just seeing what God wants to do with that. So anyway, that is my exciting life in prophecy. And I feel like almost like a salesperson. which I am, except it's not a paying position. Let me mention that, but it's life-giving for sure. So why don't we just take a few minutes, and if I need to clarify, oh, I forgot to do words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Okay, I'll just mention those, a couple of those for a minute before we take questions. Words of wisdom are, I think, a gift that many times counselors have almost automatically, and they don't recognize it because they think that's just you know, part of their job, but it's part of who they are. But words of wisdom, I think of it as a person that is able to walk people through steps to freedom, or they are able to break down complicated problems in such a way that the person just takes the steps towards walking out of their mess. So it's people with words of wisdom. I've seen it many times where somebody comes in with like so many problems you don't even know where to start. But there's a spiritual gift of word of wisdom that helps them walk people through. And I see lots of people that say, "Oh, I'm not prophetic. I have no spiritual gifts," but they have a concrete word of wisdom. And the difference between a word of knowledge and word of wisdom is a word of knowledge is a fact. So the fact can, and a fact that you would not know by natural knowledge. So the fact could be someone's birth date, anniversary, address of where they live. And if you want to see a great word of knowledge in practice, look up Sean Boltz on YouTube. And he's got an amazing words of knowledge. So what he does is he calls people out through word of knowledge. And in that word, then as they say, because he is very humble with his gift. And so he'll say, "Oh, does this name mean something to someone?" And then as they raise their hand, he's like, "Whew." But then he's able to speak in and prophesy into their lives. So it's really a powerful gift. I've seen him give the names of, in this one situation, first and second names of three of these people's grandchildren. And they weren't common names. So he would say, he said their first and second name of these kids. And then he said to the people, as they stood up, he said, "And the second one's adopted. Is that correct?" And they said, "Yes." And then he began to prophesy about how God had called them to a ministry of adoption. And it's a wonderful gift. And so I found, and we've been practicing this in our teams, we've been trying to develop a stronger word of knowledge. I mean, when you read back in here, Sean's, his background, he practiced word of knowledge. It's like, it's not like he just instantly had that kind of ability. He practiced on his friends. He just would, you know, and in some ways, I think maybe in churches, sometimes we've been very careful with prophecy. He's been a little bit freer that way in practicing because we don't want to make a mistake. But, you know, what's the mistake? He's practicing, when's your birthday, what's your favorite color? You know, nothing that's ever, you know, not, it's never going to really do any harm. But so I became, after watching Sean Boltz and some others in that area, became convinced, yes, a word of knowledge is a fantastic tool. And the other thing I've noticed is that there's some people, maybe they're not that great in prophecy. You know, it's hard for them to get the words out, but they're really great in giving words of knowledge. And so that's valuable. And that again is a really effective tool. I mean, Sean Boltz has given sometimes people's bank account number, like that full number. I mean, you know, think about that. That is, who besides God could know that kind of knowledge, right? So he's awesome. So I'd really recommend him in word of knowledge. And then there's one other area, gifts of discernment. And I'll just say gifts of discernment really speak to, you'll have to excuse me, but I just simplify things. And the more that I read about this stuff, the more confusing it gets. But I believe in having a gift of discernment. We're discerning, is this the Spirit of God? is this the spirit of man or the flesh, or is this of the devil? Like the three areas. And I believe we, in all of the gifts, I believe that we don't get to decide what gifts we have, but we get to decide if we're going to grow in those gifts or not. And that's why I think it is important for us to get training in the different areas. And it just helps us be more effective. And I don't think that we grow to the extent that God would have us in our fullness if we don't take opportunities or choose to be able to grow. And I can look back at my own journey and realize I had certain times where I had to make decisions whether I wanted to grow deeper in the gift. And if I did, it did require more of my heart, because as we're growing in our gift, God's also working in our character. And I liked splashing around in the shallow end of the pool, which is a way that Graham Cook describes beginning gifts of prophecy. I really liked that because I could just have fun. I could run around. I could prophesy over people. But then I was challenged by the Holy Spirit. Did I want to stay shallow in my gifting, or did I want to grow? Because if I wanted to grow, it meant I couldn't just prophesy over people. I had to sometimes take their burdens on. And when I did that meant sometimes I would feel their pain. It makes me cry. I could feel their emotions. I don't come off as polished when I prophesy, because sometimes I'm crying all over them if I can feel a real, you know, different things inside of them. So you get to decide those things, but it's worth it. It is really worth it. That's what I'm going to say at the end, and I'm going to actually let you ask some questions. Anybody have a question? Thank you for coming, and that is the quick version. I usually do workshops where I talk about prophecy for a day. So you got the tip.
It was good.
Thank you. Did you have a question? Oh, you've got another mic? Thank you.
How do you address the secular questions about hearing the future versus prophecy? Does that question make sense?
Do you mean like versus a psychic or something?
Yeah.
Well, how I address it is that who, first of all, sometimes look at what's the motivation. What do you think the motivation is of the person that's speaking? Because most psychics, etc., there's a money motivation, right? Because you're paying for what you get. And although sadly, I've seen some things in prophecy that are the same, where if you pay, you can get bronze, silver, or gold level of prophecy, depending on how much you have to pay. I mean, so there's been some very bad practice in prophecy as well. But I think we always want to represent who we are, that we're hearing the voice of God, that we believe that God wants to love them, wants to bless them, but that's who our source is. So that's how I answer that. And it's a fair question, because there's some accuracy in some of that whole spiritual side of things, but it demonstrates a spiritual hunger that's out there. And I think Mark alluded to that last night as well. He said, you know, maybe people aren't flocking to churches, but there's definitely spiritual appetite. So we want to actually embrace people that are interested, and what's the difference, and then we can get opportunity. Good. Anybody else? Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just want to read this scripture. It just says, if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself, to God. So I'm just trying to figure out that tongues and interpretation piece.
What did it say, if there's no interpreter?
It says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three in turn, and let each interpret. And let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, so it's almost saying as if, like, say there's a church of 100 people, like, we should almost, it seems like, okay, we have an interpreter here. Like, we should almost, there's an idea that we know who the interpreters are almost. And if there's not one there, don't say it out loud. Or am I not reading that
well,
right?
I don't know what translation that's in, but what I understand is that when you give a message in tongues, I think it says be prepared to give the interpretation if no other one speaks it. And I've seen both. Like, I've seen someone give the message in tongues, someone have the interpretation, but I've seen, I would say, probably more times where the person speaks the message in tongues. This is a public presentation. And then they wait. And if there's no other person, then the person is prepared to do the interpretation themselves. And so one of the people that I know that, like, is a grounded person that has had tongues and given the interpretation, said, well, they feel that if one person gives it and another, or one person speaks the tongue and the other gives the interpretation, they said it actually gives a blessing and a benefit to two people instead of just one. But, you know, Todd and I were, but, like, we had this experience years ago in church where we were in a bad leadership situation, and there was somebody in a prayer meeting that began to just yell out in the loud, loud tongues. And then there was a pause, and that girl gave the interpretation. But the thing about it was, is that she was the least, a quiet little lady, the least likely person to ever do something like that on her own, and also you could tell the Holy Spirit was really coming over her. Actually, it was a very important word, because it was actually identifying that about what was going to happen to that leader, which was totally accurate. Like, about a week later, there was a bunch of exposure. And so it was like the Holy Spirit was really letting people know ahead of time this thing is going to collapse. So that's my understanding. And so the way you read it there, it almost sounded like two or three people could give the interpretation. Oh, I see.
Speak out, because, like, there's times where,
I went to Bible school, and one of our lecturers, like, was strong in this gift, mm-hmm. and it was in the
speaking or the interpretation?
Both. Like, just okay. Really developed it in, in a class of 400 and developed it in everybody, and so, but now, like, if I felt, not saying I do, but mm-hmm. there are times when I have felt like I could speak out in a tongue, but I never ever would, because it's almost like maybe I don't have the faith.
Or, well, no,
there's
that's
not really a culture for it. Like,
I know.
I don't know.
That's
right?
What I thought too. I don't know. I don't know either. And that's why. But as I looked at it, because it wasn't relevant to me, you know, really. Because I haven't really seen it practiced for the last 15 years, but I've started to change my viewpoint and think, you know, maybe we just need to be more open. I guess I better take one more question, and then I think we need to wrap it up here. Yes.
I'm a little nervous to ask it because it's going to out me, but I pray in tongues.
Okay.
I don't feel edified. I just do it because of obedience.
Okay.
Am I actually praying in tongues? Because I've heard of other people saying, oh, I love praying in tongues. I feel so full of the Holy Spirit, and I don't feel that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that, I mean, maybe there are people that are lifted up every time, but, you know, praying in tongues is to be a daily reality in our life, and just life is such that there's times where we sense the presence of God, and there's times where in faith, like you say, so, and they, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than anybody. I think it's a weapon sometimes. I think there's different purposes for tongues, and it's not always just to edify us. Sometimes it's to do battle with. And I don't know. Let's just do a survey. No, I'm just for fun. Okay, in the room, is there anybody that every time you're praying in tongues feels totally edified? Nobody. So good for you for bringing it forward, because we all feel the same about it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Awesome. Anyway. Okay. All right. Your spirit's edified. Then if your spirit's edified, does that then your emotions get, well, maybe, maybe not, hey? It's your spirit. You pray with the spirit. Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay. Awesome. I think I'm done so that I can run next door. And thank you guys for coming. Awesome. Thank you.